Hi, welcome to The Pursuit of Knowledge with Noah Bozeman. This podcast episode, the first, is a part of a project I did at Massanutten Regional Governor's School. Thank you for listening.
All right, guys. So my podcast is going to be very long, so feel free to skip around in it. Let's get into it. First off, I want to talk about agricultural economics. The name should tell you what it is, but in case you're wondering about the specifics, Britannica says that agricultural economics is the study of the allocation, distribution, and utilization of the resources used, along with commodities produced by farming, commodities being the material goods such as wheat or barley. Being in the Shenandoah Valley, agriculture has always been a major economic driver. At the bank I work at, many of the people who come in happen to be farmers. These farmers have to juggle managing a labor-intensive business that aren't always the most lucrative with their everyday lives. According to the USDA, many small farms aren't even profitable in the best farm years. Because of this unfortunate reality, small farms have failed in the United States. This has led to the rise in large farms involving several families or corporations. Yet farming is still commonly thought of as a small town farmer. But in our modern world, this is more and more often not true, and we see that in Miss Bates' class all the time. For those who are still able to keep their small farm running, they oftentimes have to work a second job just to support themselves. If you are interested in farming, I'd highly recommend the TV show Clarkson's Farm. It's on Amazon Prime Video, and it's really funny. The guy who runs it is a car guy. But let's get back to the topic of economics. I'm going to spend some time telling you about Dr. Oscar B. Jessness. He's my great-great-grandfather's brother, but more importantly, he's an agricultural economist. He was an accomplished one at that. Some of his accomplishments throughout his career include being a professor in chief of the University of Minnesota's Agricultural Economics Division, receiving honors from the Minnesota Farm Forum, the American Marketing Association, and the Minnesota Farm Managers Association, serving on the National Agricultural Advisory Commission, receiving a medal from the Federal Land Bank on its 50th anniversary by the 89th U.S. Congress, serving as the president of the Green Giant Foundation, same company that makes the green beans, serving as chairman of the Federal Reserve Board of Minneapolis, opposing someone who eventually became the governor of Minnesota and the Secretary of Agriculture. He also continued to work into his 80s by founding his own consulting firm, and he authored and co-authored several books. He was born in Stevens County, Minnesota in 1889. In an interview with a radio presenter at the University of Minnesota, he spoke about his time at the university. He got his bachelor's in 1912, his master's in 1924, and his doctorate in 1928 at the University of Minnesota. The way I want you to think about the University of Minnesota is like it's their version of UVA. He didn't originally plan on attending college, but when the superintendent of his high school asked him if he was planning on quitting after the eighth grade, he said, "Why, yes, I'm 16 years old and I've got to go out and learn a living now." This was very common in rural parts of America in 1905. He was resistant to the idea of not getting out of high school until he was 20, but the superintendent worked with him so he could graduate in 3 years. That, of course, meaning that he graduated from high school at age 19. When he first got to college, when he first got to college, he was in for quite a culture shock. He said, "This is the biggest building I'd ever seen." When talking about one of the halls at the university, he joked about there being no hippies on the campus in 1908. The lecture was recorded in the 60s. He didn't start by learning about agriculture. He remarked, "Well, I wasn't sure of what field I wanted to go into. I spent the first year learning about science, literature, and arts, but I guess you couldn't take out the farm from the boy." After graduating with his bachelor's, he went to work for the United States Department of Agriculture and the University of Kentucky. "I wouldn't have missed it, but I wouldn't have stayed there," he said. Back in those times, the USDA didn't have all the farm programs they have now. Once he was back to the University of Minnesota, he began to develop an interest in agricultural policies. "The timing was perfect," he said. "There was a good deal of interest in farm programs and farm policy interests. Looking back at history, this makes perfect sense considering that this was the Great Depression." He also began to think about international trade. While discussing his philosophy around education, he said, "A lot of the things that you may talk about today as indisputable facts just weren't so 5 to 10 years from now. The world changes so rapidly that if you're so bent on imparting only information in the classroom, then you're dealing with a highly perishable commodity." End quote. He believed that it was important for his students to acquire knowledge for themselves and the ability to form their own opinions. After his retirement from academia, he decided to start a consulting firm. His firm even helped people in Central America to market byproducts from their farms. I briefly mentioned this earlier, but agribusiness has certainly overpowered the small family farm. Dr. Justness was thinking about this back then as well. A major reason in his eyes for the shift was the development of technology. This enables farmers to spread themselves over a larger area of land than ever before. It isn't good economy to have more people in a line of work than necessary to produce the requirements of that line. We should view this as an adjustment rather than cry over people being displaced, he remarked. And I want to note again, he said that in the 60s. I'll read another quote from an article. The title of it is "A Farm on the Prairie." Slow down, not Justness, he's only 80. But his chief present activity is Experience Inc., a consulting firm headquartered in downtown Minneapolis and manned mainly by two-thirds of retired businessmen, educators, scientists, and career civil servants. Dr. Julius Hendel, former Cargill Inc. executive, sparked the outfit into existence, one, to make available to the world a lot of talent that otherwise might go to waste, and two, to prolong the lives of retirees by giving them added interests. Hendel, the optimistic planner, is present, and Justness, the practical-minded perfectionist, is chairman. They make a fine team, and the company has grown even beyond Hendel's expectations. Justness's counsel has helped keep me from going off the deep end on occasion. He's a man of firm views, but his analytical mind forces him to thoroughly examine a question before he takes his position. He never pussyfoots. His blunt speaking on behalf of what he conceives as sound economics seemed to have antagonized Orville Freeman, both as governor and secretary of agriculture. Freeman tended to think that the federal regulation could solve the farmers' big problems. Justness wants people to help themselves and would like to reduce government participation. The interview, not this one, but the older interview, which was a radio interview, ended with a discussion of globalization and starvation. The answer, however, does not lie in the United States or developed countries assuming the job of providing food. The answer lies in helping them develop their potential. This idea is important to think about when we hope to create a better world. Dr. Justness passed away in 1980 at the age of 91. He was certainly accomplished a lot in his time working as an economist. The original radio interview was provided to me by the University of Minnesota's library. Thank you so much for listening.